Now let us seek the Lord before we come to the preaching of God's word in prayer. Our gracious God, we give thee thanks that through the blood of Jesus Christ, chains fall off. Sinners are set free. Sin is pardoned. And O Lord, we are given eternal life. Lord, may this be the experience of every soul gathered here. And may we truly rejoice with understanding and having experienced the goodness of our God. Bless the preaching of thy word. To that effect, then, we pray through Christ our Savior. Amen. Amen. Let us turn the word of God to the scriptures in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And the text that I want to leave before you is mainly the verse 18. The Apostle Paul says this, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Friends, it is that time of the year again that people are thinking, and you are thinking of the year that has passed. So much has happened. And also you are thinking of the year to come. And so it is important for us to realign our thinking according to the Word of God and to think about what has happened which matters. What has happened which does not matter? What are the things that we are to be concerned about? The things that will last. The things that are of utmost importance. There are people who are resolving to change things for the new year. Maybe you are thinking of, from next year, I'm not going to do this, or I am going to do such and such a thing. I hope one of the things that you do resolve every year is to read your Bibles once. I hope that is one of your resolutions. That's a good resolution. God will bless the reading of His Word to you. If you read your Bibles once a year, that means you need about 15 to 20 minutes of your time each day to read a portion of God's Word. I hope that is something that you would do. Many are engaged with concerns, various concerns about what they will do or what they will not do in the coming days. But I want to suggest to you that there is something far more important than New Year's resolutions, and that is the New Year perspectives. Perspective. That word perspective is from a Latin word which means to look through. That's what it means, to look through, to see clearly. And the thing that I want you to see clearly is this, that the time for you is marching on. Time for you, boys and girls and adults, it's marching on, and you will soon be in eternity. I will soon be in eternity. Many people in the world, every day, they go into eternity. Around over 150,000 people is estimated that they die each day. And I tell you, those thousands and thousands who die and perish are, it may be as a result of whatever it may be, accident, illness, war, and so on. They did not think at the beginning of the year that that year would be their last year. They were taken by surprise. Things didn't work out the way they thought it would work out, and yet they were ushered into eternity. Do you realize that even this year, which has not finished yet, could be the year that you would be ushered into eternity? Before this year passes, before this month passes, before even this day passes, it is a possibility. We do not know the hour that God will call us to appear before Him. How would you fare? Where will you be? How will you pass into eternity? We've been singing a wonderful hymn of praise to God, but do those words mean anything to you? You've experienced those things or not? Or will you leave the scene of this time without Christ? We've been singing about the joys of knowing the Savior and appearing before His eternal throne. But how will it be with you? The Christian has that, because of God's grace, that hope, that confidence, that assurance. They have the assurance of heaven. Why? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that Christ shed His blood for us. And so when they pass from this world, they will, as it were, they will fall in the arms of the Savior. But if you are without Christ, you are without hope. What does time mean to you now? So I want for a little while fix your thoughts on eternity, because it may be that for some of us here, next year will be our last year. And so we must recalibrate, as it were, realign ourselves to the truth of the Scriptures. The Scriptures do not give us any idle words. There are no words in the Bible that are without importance. We might write some things, but we may not necessarily mean them. It fills the page. But God never does that in His Word. So I want to direct your attention to those words. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And I want to give you three realities relating to eternity. Three realities about eternity. The first is this, that you live with temporary things in your life. There are things in your life that are temporary. The second thing I want to say is that you are going to a world that is eternal. And then thirdly, you are forced to consider your future now, in time, for eternity. Now, first of all, I want you to consider this. You live with temporary things in your life. That is what the Scripture says there. The things which are seen, that's what you are living with. The things which are seen are temporal. That is amazing. You think about it. Everything around us, what's happening to it? It's temporary. Everything around us, as the hymn says, is decaying. It is dying. It is coming to an end. Whatever you have, you buy whatever you possess, and it comes to an end. It breaks. It stops working. It is finished. The need for it is finished. And friends, we are all going from this world. It matters not if we have a high position in life or low position, if you are rich, if you are poor, if you are a young person, if you are an older person. We are all going. And soon, we shall be gone. And so think about this. You are living in a world that is temporary. The temporal things. The seen things. And that is quite a challenge. To think about that is quite a challenging thing. Think about the things which are seen. Know that the Apostle Paul had in mind in the context of this passage the troubles, the trials, and his present lot. But he meant a greater deal more than this. All that he had ever seen in Tarsus, in Jerusalem, in Corinth, in Rome, and the things which man had made, the city, the palace, the objects that people had invented, the things which God had made, the flowers, the trees, the rivers, the mountains, the oceans. These things Paul is talking about, there are things which are transient. There are things that are temporal. They're passing. Can I bring it a little home to you, closer home? Beauty is temporal. One of the things that will pass is beauty. Sarah was once a beautiful woman. We read in the scriptures, she was fair of countenance. She was the admiration of the court of Egypt. Yet a day came when her husband Abraham said, "Let me bury my dead out of my sight." He couldn't look upon Sarah anymore. She had to be buried. Of course, after she had died. And this is something. How long did you spend in front of the mirror this morning? Some of us very little. Some of us a longer period of time. Ladies, despite all the cosmetic beauty, that is also temporary. It will pass. Many seek external things, external makeup and facelifts. In our world today, why? It is in one sense of slowing down the process of aging, or at least the outward picture of it. And it's a natural thing. Who wants to be looking in having an unpleasant sight before people? And people try to find the fountain of life, fountain of youth. And so various products are coming. It's this oil and that oil, or whatever else they would try to say, this is the natural extract. But you see, the old eyes will get weaker. These arms will become feeble. The legs will become bent, and we lose our memories. Is that happening to you already? The beauty is only temporary. It's temporal. But then strength is as well. It's only temporal. Men, despite all the things they try to do, and coming to the chapel here this morning, people are running, people are doing exercise. That is temporal. King David was once a mighty man of valor, the scripture says. Yet a day came when even David had to be ministered to, had to be cared for in his old age. Strength. Don't rely on your strength, friends. Life expectancy is rising. But every one of us will one day die. Wisdom as well is only temporal. Education is a good thing. We must be educated in right things that glorifies God. And we might go to study. But always remember that wisdom is only temporary. Solomon was once such a wise man. He was the picture of knowledge and wisdom. And all the kings of the earth came to hear him and hear his wisdom and see the glory of Solomon. And yet even Solomon in his latter days played the fool. And he followed his foolish wives. And his wife turned away his heart, the scripture says. And hey, bring it closer to you. The house we live in. You throw money at it. You try to keep it. You try to restore it. And it's a good thing to do some of those things. But the things we accumulate, the professions we follow, the plans that we make, the relationships that we cherish, they're only for time, friends. The things which are seen, it says, is temporal. How well do you know this? Is it not time at the end of the year and beginning of a new year for you to pause, for you to try and see life in its true perspective? To see it clearly for what it is. Do you see the things that you're living for now? It is temporary. All the pleasures. And even the scripture speaks about the pleasure of sin is only for a moment. It is passing. The recreations will soon be over. The things that you're playing with, it will be soon over. We can't keep them. You will not have them. That's why you hear it again and again that you must seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The things that are seen are temporal. And so the fact that we are living a life in temporary things, it is a challenging thing, but also it is comforting. It's a challenge, but also it's a comfort. For when the Apostle Paul speaks here of the things which are seen, he is no doubt thinking of all the toils, all his tears, all of his trials, all of his troubles that he's endured as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. It also is passing. Dear believer, does that not comfort you? Comfort your heart? Cheer your soul? And lighten your steps to think, this thing I suffer, but for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, I give it to Him, and one day it will be over. For all of your trials, conflicts, and sorrows, and difficulties, and heartaches, and problems, and weaknesses of your body and mind, all are temporal. They will soon be over, and even now, they are working for you. A far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, the scripture says. And that's why you need to take them patiently, bear them quietly. We are living in a world that everything is publicized. All the trials and aches and pains is publicized. Friends, what we ought to do is look upward, look forward, look onward, and far beyond these things. Bear them with the abiding recollection that the things which are seen are temporal. So you live with temporary things in your life. That is a reality. But secondly, you're going to a world that is eternal. Every one of us here, you're going to a world that is eternal. Did you catch what the Apostle Paul says here? But the things which are not seen, the things which are not seen are what? Are eternal. God, Christ, joy, eternal bliss, eternal torment, heaven, hell. These things are eternal. You see, that great unseen state of existence which lies beyond the grave is forever. It doesn't matter whether it is the joy of heaven or the judgment of hell. It is the glory of heaven or the gloom of hell. If it is pleasure, if it is pain, in one respect, it is completely unlike this world. It is forever. There in the great eternity, there will be no change or decay, no end, no alteration, no annihilation. Whatever there is beyond the grave is endless. It is eternal. It is everlasting. You see, while the word eternity is actually used just once in the Bible. Did you know that? I didn't know that until studying for this. Just once it's used, the term eternity, in Isaiah 57 and verse 15. And that is referring to God. God who dwells in eternity. But the concept of eternity appears time and again in the Bible. Eternity is an attribute or perfection of God. God exists in His existence is without beginning and it will never end. Do you remember the psalmist speaks of from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. The Apostle Paul says, the things which are not seen are eternal. Just think of this too. Your life. How long will you live? You may live 5, 10, 15, 20, 50 more years. But then what? Eternity. That's what will happen then, is eternity. You enter into eternity. Can you grasp this? Can you grasp that little word, eternity? How long? A million years? Well, a million is 1,000,000. How long? A trillion years? A trillion is 1,000,000,000,000. How long? A quadrillion years? It's 1,000,000,000,000,000. And you say, well, I can't even contain that. I can't even grasp hold of this. Ah, so is eternity. Because after those quadrillions of years, times, whatever value you want to times it by, eternity has just begun. You cannot comprehend it. Do you recognize that there is an eternity? Do you realize that you are living in a sphere, in a life that is temporal now, but that you are going to a world which is eternal? But the things which are not seen are eternal. That's why it is an urgent thing. That's why the preachers who are faithful press this home. Because this world is passing. And it has some bearing. It means that the future of glory of the saved is eternal. Great comfort. When you think about eternity and things that are eternal, you must, believer, think about the things that is stored for the Christian. It is eternal as well. Do you recall what the psalmist says? And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, he says. Paul the apostle says that when we shall be forever with the Lord. And however little we may grasp this, it is something which has no end. It will never cease, never grow old. It will never decay. It will never die. At thy hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And to Christian friends, once we land in glory, we shall go out no more. There is no exit to heaven. The Apostle Peter says that the inheritance of the believer is incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away. Then our warfare, my friends, then our warfare will be accomplished. Then our fight will be over. And then our work will be done. We are heading, friends. If you are a child of God, we are heading home to the eternal home, which will never be broken up. You will be going to a meeting without a parting of friends. You are going to a family gathering without a separation. A day, the scripture says, without a night. Do you know what we are now? We are pilgrims. We are strangers, the Bible says. Now we are like a fugitive who is running away from this world to his home. We are someone like a vagabond, the scripture says, without a home. But then when we arrive to our heavenly home, we say, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, the permanency of it. One of these days we are going to settle down and be forever with the Lord. So that is what is awaiting the believer. But then think about the agony of the lost. That is eternal. The comfort of the glory for Christian is eternal. But the agony of the lost is eternal. Eternal glory and eternal agony, they stand side by side. And what a horrifying thing this is. If the joys of the Christian is eternal, then the judgment of those who are Christless is eternal as well. If heaven is eternal, hell is also eternal. How awful to think that once in hell, you will be in hell forever. Yet, is this not the truth of the Bible? The Lord Jesus Christ speaks of this, of the place that the fire that is never to be quenched. That there is a place that the worm dieth not. He says, these shall go away into everlasting punishment. That's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking in the Gospels. Think about those burning words of Revelation, in Revelation 14. And that should challenge every Christian, friends. When you think about your loved one, when you think about your brother, sister, parents, when you think about your neighbor, your colleagues, you think that at this moment in time, as far as you're aware, if they're not Christian, they're heading to that place of for eternity, who the scripture says, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. There is a road that leads to hell, but there is no road leading out of hell. There will be no missionaries going to hell. There will be no holiday trips to heaven. There will be no one coming to tell you the gospel in hell. Do you know what the Bible teaches? The eternal security of a sinner in hell. For once in hell, you will be there forever. And this is why we are, this scripture says that knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That's why we bring these things and we feel strongly about this, because we're warning people from the wrath to come. Because then, after death, there is no deliverance. Lost. Permanently lost. Eternally lost. Tragically lost. Lost in the darkness of hell forever. If you were to be called into eternity within the next 24 hours, would you be saved or lost? That's my question to you. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we've seen that you're living a life that is temporary. You're living amongst temporary things in your life. But also that we are going to a world that is eternal. Every one of us. And the third thing is this, some words of application. You're forced, when you think about this, you and I are forced to consider your future in eternity. Can you tell me anything more vital than where you're going to be in eternity? Is it possible for you to know where you will be in eternity? The answer is yes. It is possible. Will you answer one simple question? Have you come to a place in your life where you can say for certain that if you were to die today, at some point in the next 24 hours, you would go to heaven? Can you answer that sincerely, honestly? What will be your answer? Someone might say, I don't know. Can anyone know for sure? That's the response that many people in our age say. Yes, they can know for sure. Do you know now where you will be spending eternity? The Lord Jesus Christ knew where he would spend eternity, where he would be in eternity. He said, but I go my way to him that sent me. He said to the thief on the cross, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Christ was going back to his Father in heaven to prepare a home for his blood-bought people. Job knew where he was going, where he would be in eternity. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And then he goes on to say, and in my flesh shall I see God. Paul the apostle knew where he would be in eternity. He said, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. He knew that after he would depart from this world, he would be with Christ. What a thing awaits the Christian. So it is possible for you to know where you will be in eternity. You see, you must seek this morning Christ to change your course of life. That's what you need to do this morning. Seek the Lord Jesus Christ who can change the course of your life. You need to seek him by faith. Trust in him. Repent of your sins. Change your hellish course of life now. Our life on this planet is short. At the very best, the scripture says, it's like a vapor that comes and goes. The life that is before you is endless in another world. Where will you be in 100 years? Every one of us will be gone in 100 years. Everyone who is sitting here, you will not be here in 100 years. Where will you be? It is appointed unto men. The scripture says, it is appointed unto men. And then there is judgment to come. And as death leaves men, so judgment will find them. And so the Savior calls you. The children were studying in the Sunday school. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. How are you using your time? You have time. You have time for holidays. You have time for games. You have time for family. You have time for work, for school, for health, for doctors, for visiting people, for social media, for Instagram and YouTube and all of these things. But have you given serious time to what we are talking about? What are you going? What are you doing for your immortal soul? Are you prepared to meet your God? Here and now, you're faced this morning with Christ and your eternity. What will you do? The Lord Jesus Christ said this, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Oh, if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ only for saving your soul, and believe that he died upon the cross to bear away your sin, and then repent, sorrow over your sins. Admit to God that you have sinned against him, a holy God. You've offended. Admit to that. And then seek the Lord Jesus Christ to change your course of life, to turn from sin and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, to follow him. That's what you must do. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, the scripture says. That's what you must do. Then it is that you are forgiven. Then you will have peace with God. Then you will be given eternal life and assurance of heaven. But if you reject Christ now, in this time, you will be eternally without him. So the question that confronts you this day is this: what shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? We thought of this some months ago. What did the Lord Jesus Christ do for us? And what are you going to do with him? The Lord Jesus Christ came. He lived a life that we could never live. He died for to take away our sins, to pay the price for our sins upon that tree, the cross. He shed his precious blood to deal with our sin problem. And on the third day, he triumphed over death and the grave. He rose again. And this, my friends, he is the only Savior. Christ came to give us eternal life, that eternal hope, that eternal peace, while we live amongst the things which are seen and temporal. And he came to give us glory and joy, and then we enter into the things which are not seen and eternal. Eternity. Think about it today. Eternity. How will you face it? All of us will have to face it. How will you face it? The Apostle Paul said this. This is how he faced it. "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." Is this how you will face eternity? Is this how you will face that place where you will live forever and ever? Oh, you should be called into eternity if you were within the next 24 hours. Where would it be? Heaven or hell? Which one will it be? Eternity awaits us in the coming days and in the new year. Amen.